Bernadette Keys joins me now, a local Melbourne artist whose exhibition Odalisque opens today and runs till the 22nd of February at the C3 Contemporary Art Space here at the Abbotsford Convent. If my mathematical skills are correct, Odalisque would be your 16th exhibition to open. Would you consider yourself as a natural? You've had 7 individual exhibitions and 9 group exhibitions in and around Melbourne. Or is this opening completely different to your previous exhibition openings?
I guess it is different in that this is my first foray into a video and sound installation. I've worked primarily with photography and sound and video. So this is new in that it's combining a few of those elements in a new way.
Are you nervous?
I'm actually really excited because it's looking great and there's been so much positive feedback already. I'm really excited.
Let's talk about the work, Odalisque. My understanding, I've looked it up on the internet, did a bit of a Google search. Odalisque is a term given to a virgin female slave in harem, the house of a Turkish sultan. But then in contemporary time, we can understand this word as mistress. Most commonly, the word is given to the nude women often posed in 19th and 20th century paintings by Matisse or Ingres, for example. Can you explain how this is explored in your installation?
I would say in this piece, in this work, it would be the latter definition of odalisque, in that in the tradition in art, the odalisque is the reclining nude, which there's a long tradition of with art models, and I've been an art model myself. So I guess it kind of was inspired from being an art model for many years and also from another experience I had when I was pregnant, and I've sort of put these two together and then put it in a different context. But I guess it's kind of subverted the art definition of odalisque in that instead of a nude woman reclining on the bed as artist's model, I've got a projection of a woman who's, you know, she's in bathers and she's projected onto the bed. So it's quite a postmodern kind of post-feminist odalisque because the woman is not really a physical presence. She's become a mass media entity. So I think that's interesting in terms of today's communication technology and culture and how we receive most of our information in the 21st century, which is via the media.
You've obviously put a lot of time into planning and structuring and creating this complex artwork. May I ask how the idea came about, how it emerged?
Well, from being an art model, I had that experience. And also when I was pregnant with my son, I can remember being quite pregnant and going to a swimming pool, and it was very beautifully lit and I went for a swim and I just had this moment of pure inspiration looking around the pool. And I just felt then that I would do some type of artistic project. And it's not until, you know, quite a few years later that that's manifested. So from that inspiration, I went through a few different drafts and I did some filming with a few different models, and I arrived through the artistic process on the odalisque that I've created for this show.
Beautiful. Mm. Now, in your artist statement for the piece, you describe the bed as a potent metaphor. What does it represent?
Well, when I looked up, when I was researching sleep and all that sort of thing, a third of our lives is spent in bed. Now, if you think of, you know, a third of your life, that's a lot of time. Also, I think the bed, you know, it's just an everyday quotidian object, but it's also where you may give birth, where someone may die, where you may be sick, where you may chat, where you may make love. It can be a whole lot of different things. And as an artist, I'm charting how communication technology is affecting us as human beings and just the ubiquitousness of screen culture. And I just had this idea, well, you know, the bed as a screen, so that the technology is becoming so infused with us that there's kind of no difference between the technology and our life. And my work's been very much concerned and made mainly in domestic spheres, and it's a good size to project the image onto.
We'll go on to the soundtrack. So, again, referring to your artist statement, the soundtrack is termed the point of departure for the protagonist's experience. Mm. How does your choice of soundtrack serve the overall intention of your work?
All right. Well, it was a very deliberate choice. I have grown up in a musical family, yet I have no musical training. music is very much a part of my life, and I love music. And we have a piano at home, and I just decided, I've always been very interested in pure artistic expression, that is, artistic expression that has no training or no practice, something that's just this pure energy. And I felt that I'd like to try composing. So I just composed the soundtrack myself, and I felt that that kind of the naivety and the kind of that I would compose totally on intuition and feel, and hence the piano's, you know, a wonderful instrument. As there's no dialogue for the woman, for the odalisque on the bed, I felt this piano soundtrack was quite raw, so it made it very human. It's quite gentle, but then it's intense, so I just felt that that would complement the imagery perfectly.
Let's talk about influential composers.
Yeah.
Who would you say you listen to a lot of during the creation of your soundtrack?
Well, I've got a very eclectic musical taste, but I would say what's informed a lot of the theory of my artwork is John Cage's atonal music theory and his music, his ideas about silence, in that as much as we try, we cannot create any type of silence. And that with atonal music, it's like life. Life and the human experience. Life is never perfectly formed. There's always something a bit wrong or a bit out. As much as we can try and make it perfect, it never is.
Mm.
And I like the humility of that kind of philosophy.
How important is a soundtrack?
I guess it's relevant to the context and to the work. I've seen, you know, many video art installations and a lot of video art and film that has no soundtrack, that's quite beautiful. So I guess it's depends on the work, the kind of concepts that the artist is communicating and presenting. So, yeah, I'd say it's as important as the artist needs it to be.
Let's go to a John Cage track now. I'm going to play Sonata 13 from Nigel Bartoli's prepared piano album, Sonatas and Interludes.
Thank you.
Sonata 13, composed by John Cage and performed by Nigel Butterley on piano. Now, moving along, you refer to Donna Haraway's text, The Cyborg Manifesto, Science, Technology and Socialist Feminism in the Late 20th Century. This text is an obvious feminist text. My understanding when I studied Donna Haraway at university, the cyborg is a dualistic creature, simultaneously animal and machine. Is your female a cyborg? And how is she a cyborg? Can you explain the term cyborg and how this relates to the intention of your artwork?
I don't know if the female is, but it's more the general trajectory of what the work's communicating is that the communication technology is becoming so imbued in us and in our everyday lives. And if you look at future predictions for technology, they're talking about, you know, insertion of chips actually in our bodies. And so that just led me straight to Donna Haraway, which, you know, I studied in media studies. I'm just interested in what this is actually doing to our own communication, because we are animals and we do have, you know, we have a heart and I believe we have a soul. So I'm not saying it's a negative thing, but I'm just interested in what it is doing to us as human beings. As we know, with the rise in technology, there's a direct correlation between the rise in mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so much crowding of our lives with technology. And so I'm more interested in what it's doing to us and how women are perceived as a overall kind of concept.
Just to extend on that, are there any examples of women in literature, TV, popular culture, Hollywood, that you have based your female on?
I think my original inspiration was from, obviously, from art, from, you know, Ophelia floating in the pond, some beautiful classical artworks like that. And hence I've worked with a very beautiful classical Greek-looking woman that kind of refers to all that sort of history and to mythology. But also I think some of the early screen goddesses from the heyday of Hollywood, like Pola Negri and Rita Hayworth. And I guess that kind of culture is transposed now, but it's in a different way. I mean, we don't have our gods and goddesses as they did in ancient Greece, but we have our celebrity gods and goddesses where we gaze upon a beautiful face. So, you know, I guess, you know, like Scarlett Johansson and Kate Winslet and all those kind of classically beautiful kind of screen goddesses. So I'm quoting that. But as she's kind of truncated, as she's projected on the bed and electronically cropped and dissolved, that's also referring to, you know, the pop culture and the video culture and you know, paparazzi and advertising, all that sort of stuff. So
in a way, this female is a mishmash or a coloration of all the females that we've come across from early Hollywood cinema to now our pop culture.
Zoe, the woman that modelled for this work, she's just got a classically Greek mythological sort of look that can refer to all those different things.
Thank you for joining me today, Bernadette.